buruk. Rimba tigede de 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 But I give you glory, I give you honor, I give you adoration. Rimataka Shedasaga. I arabo takash de karabo to dodabasa da karabo to go bash it. Arabata karabatakash de karabo to go bash it. I arabati de karabo to go bash it. The credit karabo to go bash it. The karabo to go bakas de. I arabo to get it. The karabo to go bash it. The karabo to go bash it. The karabo to karabo to. You take all the glory, you take it all, you take it all, Your presence Marabo shere arabo sarada rabai arabo shere de baya karabo to go ba shere de yarabo de bo shere da karabo to go ba sene de karabo to go ba shere de ambo de karabo to go ba shere de karabo to go ba khashine de amba te se de mo go ba shere de karabo to go ba sene de ambo de karabo to go ba shere de karabo to go ba shere de remba de ge de karabo Lord, I give you glory. And the honors, Lord, I lift my hands in worship as I glorify your name. Lord, I give you glory and the honor. Lord, I lift my hands in worship as I glorify your name. For you are great. You're the miracle so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. You're the miracle so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else. ta she de karaba kasa de rima ta kashe de karabo toko bashe de rikaraba toko bashe de karabo toko bashe de karabo toko bashe de amba de karabo toko bashe de karabo toko bashe de amba de karabo toko bashe de karabo toko bashe de amba yarata karabo toko bashe de karabo to makasa de bashe de kola amba rita shata de bashe de karabos. Holy, 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 sharabata karabo toko ba sana da da da. Holy, holy, gorabata karabo toko ba she de karabo toko ba she de karabo to se de karabo she de ayaraba se de karabo ko ba se de show your mercy, oh my karabata kase. Show your mercy, shikiri korabakashi de korabata kase. Show your mercy to Cox's Razashi, the Kiri Korabatakashi, de. Show your mercy, precious Father God. Show your mercy, Kiri Batakarabu Tokobashi, Makarabatakashi. Show your mercy to us this morning, O God. Show your mercy, Ribatakashi. We return all the glory to you, Makarabu Tokoboshi, de Karabatakashi, de Ambakarabatakarabu Tokobashi, de. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are on the throne, that you are faithful, you are holy, you are excellent, oh God. You're here with us, oh God. You speak to us, oh God, in a language that we understand, that we can be taught of you, oh God. We are taught of the Lord because, Father, you've never forsaken us, you've never abandoned us, you've never left us alone, oh God. And each and every moment we say thank you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Blessed Redeemer, we trust in you. Blessed King, we wait upon you. Blessed Son of God, we know that, Lord, you are faithful, you are holy, and there is none like you, God. Be lifted up on high and be glorified. Precious Savior, you are exalted and you are high and lifted up on high. May your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. Even as we listen to your word, the Lord, you may speak to us and help us understand you in a deeper way. We honor and we adore you and give glory. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen. Praise God. Praise God, my brothers, my sisters. Thank you for God leading you to listen to another Spirit and Life session. And this is just by the grace of God that we continue to learn of him. We continue to have understanding of our position in Christ, about who we are, sons of God, and knowing that we are under a different law. A different law operates in our lives. That means the law of the Spirit of Life in Christ Jesus. In Christ operates in us, that is superior to the law of sin and death. And we've been speaking of that aeroplane, that plane of faith, that place of trust in God, that place of understanding who God is, that place of knowing and recognizing that God is the one that has made us righteous. God is the one that has called us to be his own. God is the one who has called us to be his children, who has made a way, who did the first work of reconciliation. The Bible tells us that God was in Christ reconciling the world back to himself. And you see, when someone is reconciling, that means that your original status is that you are together. And as since you are together, at some point, something happened that separated the friendship, that brought enmity between you and God. And you see, when that separation happened, then unless one of the parties which was aggrieved comes forward and asks and makes a way for peace, then most of the time it is very difficult to have peace in such a situation. But you see, God was reconciling the world back to himself. He was reconciling man back to himself. His purpose, that he so loved the earth, he so loved the world, that he saved, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So God has given a promise. He has given a command. He has issued a decree in the heavenlies that is law, that whosoever believes in the name, in his name, beloved, whosoever believes in his Son that he sent, then this person, that person shall have
everlasting, shall have eternal life. And you see, eternal life is a life everlasting, is a life without end, is the abundant life, is the life without limit. And you see, we experience eternal life not only on earth, but also in the age to come. That is, after we die, then we shall experience and continue to experience eternal life. So the Christian is alive from now, from the moment they accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And after that, continues in that life until the point where they get to sleep. And scriptures refers to death in unbelievers as just sleep, because it says that we shall not all sleep, but in the twinkling of an eye will be caught up, those who are alive among us. So scripture gives us direction that not only will a number of people die, or go to sleep if the Lord tarries, but if the Lord comes at any one time, we shall hear the shout of the trumpet, and with a loud voice the Son of Glory will appear, and the Son of Glory, who is Jesus Christ, will appear, and those who are the first to rise will be the dead, those who died in Christ, and after they rise, then next will be those who are alive will be caught up in the air. And that caught up is the word rapture. That means we'll be raptured and caught up in the air and to meet with our Lord and to welcome him in the airs. And that will be a glorious occasion that the Lord will call his own. And so I just want us to always keep looking forward to that blessed hope. And this is what we refer to as the blessed hope, that every believer must long for the return of the Messiah. We must have a desire that Christ is coming back. And that is why the Bible in Revelation says, the Spirit and the Bride cry out, come. Both the Spirit and the Bride, they cry out, come. Maranatha, come, Leah. Come, Lord Jesus. So every time we must always be conscious that Jesus is coming back anytime soon. And that will dictate how we live our lives. That will dictate the words that we speak. That will give us grace in how we deal with our loved ones, how we deal with our children, how we deal with our parents, how we deal with our spouses. Because we will recognize that in the same way that God has forgiven us is the same way that we should forgive those who wrong us and those who mistreat us and those who say wicked things against us. Because at the end of the day, the Lord God is the one who is in control and is the giver of life, and he knows how to change each and every individual. So we must be grateful for the gift of life, the gift of family, the gift of brothers, the sisters, the gift even of neighbors and work colleagues, and the gift of every human being around us, that without them we will not be complete, because it is you alone that is able to do that which concerns our lives. And so I'm grateful that we can continually see this and we can continually look at what God is doing. And just as a preamble to also what we've been looking at and the two aspects of control, and where we've seen those that are led by the Spirit of God, or those that are controlled by the Holy Spirit, or directed, or receive their instructions from the Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God. Whereas those who live in disobedience, those who live in disobedience to his convictions, to his mercy, to his leading, and those who decide and submit themselves to be led by the sinful nature, or rather to be dominated by the sinful nature, the end result is death. The end result is death and corruption. And he that sows to please his sinful nature, from that sinful nature will reap corruption. But he that sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So there is a harvest of eternal life that awaits those who, through patient endurance and dogmatic faith, have consistently put their hope and trust in God. And so we've also been looking at the spirit of adoption, in which we see that this means that we are adopted sons of God. And God confirms this through the witness of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God helps us, intercedes for us, cries out, Abba, Father. In that means we say that when we looked at the word Abba, we are referring to the source. We're referring to the one who is our source. and he is our source, and by him we live and move and have our being. And so we also we are looking at Romans chapter 8 today. If we look at from verse 16, it says that the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirits that we are, with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was not made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons or of the children of God. So I want us to just look at verse 17, and it says, and if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So you see, whenever we look at the word heir, in any kingdom or in any family, the heir is usually a son of that home that has the legal right, or rather the children of that home that have the legal right to receive the inheritance or the properties of either their parents, their father, their mother, or their uncles, or their relatives, or their deceased relatives. So what does that tell you? In that, it tells you that, and this is, I think, best evidence in the story of the prodigal son. So the story of the prodigal son Jesus gives is a parable about a father who's had two sons. One was the older son and the other was the younger son. And one day the younger son told the father, Father, give me my inheritance. Give me what is due to me that I might go and enjoy and work on it. And so the father divided his property among his two sons and he gave the younger son half of what he needed. And the younger son went and lived in a far away country, eating and squandering all the wealth of the father through various dubious means. And eventually, when he came back to his senses, he realized that even his father's servants are well treated, that he was desiring to eat the pods of a pig. So this was a son who belonged to the house. He was young, but yet was immature. And you see, whenever you're an heir, that means you have a legal right to the inheritance. So we can see that verse 17, and if children, remember we are saying that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So anytime you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have the assurance that you are a child of God. And remember, we've read in Ephesians, I think it's 1 around 14, there then, where that says that the Spirit is given as a deposit, as a seal guaranteeing our inheritance. So any heir, for you to be an heir, one, you must be a legal child or a legal son or daughter of that house. So the moment you stop being under that house, you lose the right of being an heir. So we are told that the children, if we are children, then we are heirs of God. I don't know how you understand that, but it means that our inheritance, or rather, since we are heirs of God, it's like if you're an heir to the throne or an heir to the king of Wessex or the King of England, then that means that you are destined to ascend to that throne. You're destined, your final destiny is to be in that place of authority that your father will apportion to you or that the father possessed. So we can see for this correlation is that we are going to inherit God, and we shall inherit the place of authority that God shall give us in the new dispensation, because I believe there is an age to come in which this world will not be the same as it was, because the Bible tells us in that time there will be no need for the sun, because the Lord himself will be our light. That the lion and the cobra shall eat grass, the children shall play near a cobra's nest. And you know, there shall be peace on the earth and tranquility when the Messiah shall have even their 1,000 days rule. And apart from all that, then when that new dispensation comes, there's going to be unity between heaven and earth. All will be tied together in Christ. There will be no difference between heaven and the earth. And we'll be in that new Jerusalem that will come down from the Father dressed as a beautiful bride. So when we think of that, then we can see that we shall inherit God. We shall be heirs of God. But now when we look at, I just want us to throw our fingers, and I think it is in Galatians chapter 3, if I'm not wrong. Let me see. Galatians 3. And towards the end, where it says that from verse 26, okay, we can say that from verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Verse 26, for ye all are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So we receive our sonship, or our to become children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I want us to read Galatians chapter 4 so that we understand something about being an heir. Remember, we are heirs of God and we are joint heirs with Christ. So I want us to first understand that concept of being an heir. It says that, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a slave or from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But he is under tutors and governors until the time appointed by the Father. So even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman and made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because we are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So we see that heirs are legal family members or children who belong to a specific family and who, by virtue of either their adoption or by virtue of their natural descent or birth, they have a right to receive an inheritance from their father or from their parents. Now, this is a right, but does not necessarily mean that we experience it. And we've seen many cases of where parents decide to disinherit their children, either because of their behavior, their disobedience, their character, or their attitude in life. And they decide to either give it to charity, or they find someone else who is worthy, who is in need of that support, and they provide that support. So An heir, basically what Galatians is telling us, that an heir, as long as he's still a child, does not differ much from a slave or a servant. So the heir, even though we are heirs of God, and as long as we are still children, we cannot be accorded with the responsibilities. We cannot be accorded with the attributes. We cannot be accorded with the authority that is required for us to operate in the realm of God, in the realm that God has destined, the realm of authority that God has destined for the sons of God. And remember, creation is an eager manifestation for the revelation or for the manifestation of the sons of God, in that the creation was subject to vanity, and it was put under the of corruption. You know, it's been put under the bondage of corruption, and creation in itself groans. It groans. It is in pain. Anytime you see these heat waves, you see these hunger strikes, you see these floods, you see this destruction all around us. These are marks of creation in rebellion that have been subjected to the bondage of corruption. And they are crying and they are wondering, when will the sons of God arise and be made manifest on the earth that they can restore order? So the heir has a responsibility to grow into maturity, that he might be assigned the available or the remaining inheritance that is expected from the Father. Now, inheritance, as you've seen, there is what is both the physical inheritance in terms of money, wealth, there is cars, there's land, but then there's also spiritual inheritance, of which I believe can be wisdom, it can be the anointing, it can be the, you know, it can be the grace that comes from a father. And so there are various things that we inherit from our parents, whether good or bad. But you see, if you're an heir of God, then that means you are alongside Christ. You experience the power and the dominion and the authority. And that is why we rule alongside Christ. We rule through him. We rule in him, because in Christ, each man is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And you see, so we have a responsibility to be mature sons, so that we are not just treated as slaves and we are not just submitted to tutors and governors. So anyone who is still operating in the law, anyone who still has not yet fully understood the grasp of the message of the Holy Spirit's work in our midst, then faces numerous challenges of planning, numerous challenges of not knowing the way forward, because they have not yet submitted themselves fully to the leading of our Father. So our Father God is the one that that gives us the inheritance. And so we are joint heirs with Christ. I don't know how you take that, but Jesus said that he has come to redeem us into a kingdom of priests and kings. That means we have two main functions as believers. We have our priestly function and we also have our kingly function. That means our priestly function is our ordination unto God. This means it's our prayer life, it's our word life, it's our study life, it's our fasting life. It's the moments that we take to connect with God and the focus that we take to put our hopes and our trust in him. And so when we look at the focus, we are joint heirs with Christ. Remember, Christ has inherited all authority, all power, all dominion, all wealth, all prosperity, all goodness, everything that Christ is worthy to receive. Remember when in heaven, when there was silence and John wept because no one was found worthy to open the scroll, but he was told, "Weep not, my child, because the lion of the lamb of the tribe of Judah has prevailed." And so as heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, we also have prevailed. We have prevailed when the enemy comes like a flood. We prevail when he sends his forces to attack us. We prevail, you know, when things don't look like they're working, because in all these things, the Bible tells us that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, our Lord. So we are more than conquerors. We receive the gift of the inheritance of the sons of God. And we receive the authority, the requisite authority, the wealth, the grace, the power, the anointing. So everything that we receive from Christ is freely given of us. It comes at no cost. It only comes at the price or at the cost of faith. The day we exercise our faith, the day we put our trust in God, the day we continually build on what he has helped us to achieve, then the more that we are able to achieve what our purpose is on the earth, because God is concerned so much with each and every person to fulfill the purpose that he has prepared and has anticipated for them. And so may God help us that we shall be those doctors who shall be able, or those believers who shall be able to make a difference as heirs of Christ. Don't you think about it. You are inheriting God. You will inherit God. You will inherit from God. You will inherit from Christ. You're a joint heir with him. And it will be such a blessing and an honor to be a son and a child of God. Today I just wanted to focus on that. And I just pray that God will help us sink that, understand it, reflect on it. And you know what? And say, you know what? I deserve the best. Because God gave him a name. The obedience of Christ gave Jesus a name that is above every other name. That at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven and on earth must bow down to that name. And so even this morning, when we are in Christ, when we are established and firmly rooted in Christ, then we know that we have a name. We are given a name that is above every other name. So our position of authority, as the believers is that we are in Christ and Christ is in God. And that is the greatest inheritance that we will ever receive. Can you imagine? It's just like today if you were told that you were randomly selected by either the richest man on earth, Dangote in Africa, or Elon Musk or Bill Gates to be his son, I tell you, whatever job you are doing, you will stop. Why? Because you know that the person who was about to be your father, the person who has adopted you, has the capacity to go beyond what you ever imagined. And it must be the same case with God, our Father. We must always believe that he has more than sufficient capacity within himself to break the barriers of darkness. He has more than sufficient capacity within himself to make a difference in our lives. And so we must continually give thanks to God for his faithfulness, and his love endures forever. You are an heir of Christ, of God. You are a joint heir with Christ. And that means you, by God's grace, we are worthy to receive all that God has prepared for us. And most importantly, he has prepared us himself. And we are in Christ, and Christ is in God. Let us look back and reflect and know that we have a Father that loves us, and he has made us heirs. And as we continue in that walk, creation shall be made free. Creation shall be made free. Creation shall be set free. And even as we enter into the glorious liberty of the sons of God, that means basically that we enter into a place where we've been given the authority to function as the sons of God on the earth. That means we are given, for lack of a better word, poetic license. We are given the authority, the ability to
to work out the creation, to make things, to declare things, to decree things, to make a difference in the lives of the people that we work with, in the lives of the people that we serve, to make a difference, to make a decree over the earth, over the nations, over the land, over the churches, over the fellowships of God. We have an ability to declare. Why? Because we've been given, we are entering into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. And remember, we must never use our liberty for evil. And anyone that uses their liberty for evil is one that is still immature, is one that has not gone through the process, is one that does not know that God is still a God of justice and his principles stay the same. That's why the law is a schoolmaster. The law is a schoolmaster pointing us towards the faith. Faith in Christ. So faith in Christ is our ultimate goal. And I'll keep encouraging you, put your faith in Christ. Continually, continually put your faith in God. And God who started the work in you shall be faithful to complete it. And remember, you have a greater, much greater inheritance. And this is of God. And you are an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Such a profound note. I want to stop there and I just want to pray. And Heavenly Father, I give you thanks. I thank you for the message this morning. Thank you that you've hammered in us that we are your sons and not just bastards, not just illegitimate sons, but we are sons that are loved of you, that are cared, that are protected by the Most High God. And you've continually covered us in everything that we do. And so, this morning, I thank you for my listeners. I pray that, Lord, them that are in situations that does not look or reflect being a son, I pray that you shall make a difference. You shall intervene. You shall open their eyes. You shall open their ears. You shall make the lame to walk. You shall heal broken bones, broken ligaments. All cancers disappear in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for the revelation of the sons of God, that the sons of God shall declare through what you have done, they shall declare that, Lord, you are a faithful, faithful Father, and you're working in our midst. May your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. This day is covered by you, is strengthened by you. Go ahead of us, keep us, and watch over us. In everything that we do, may your name be praised, be glorified, and be lifted up on high. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen. Thank you for listening in. I pray that God will bless you and watch over you. And until next time we meet through the same forum, God bless you. Shalom. Bye.